Shut up and sit down.
Hello, world. Welcome to episode 7 of the RB Scout podcast. My name is Adam Spinks. On Twitter, you can find me at the RB Scout. And today we are going to bring you something very special. Hope you all have your Mike Gilsey fan club shirts on, because that is the topic of the day. Okay, let's talk about the preconceived notion that no one will ever want a fantasy running back in a Bill Belichick offense. And I just want to make sure that we're all aware that Bill Belichick does not call offensive plays, that Josh McDaniels does. So really what you want to be looking at is, do you want a running back in a Josh McDaniels-led offense? McDaniels has 10 years of play-calling experience under his belt. That's two stints in New England, the short time in St. Louis, and finally the head coaching job that he had for Denver. Now, during this time, he's not been blessed with the most efficient or talented running backs. Let's take a quick historical look at his lead backs and his offenses. Starting in 2007 with the epic Patriots team, he had Lawrence Maroney. 2008, Sammy Morris. And then he went to Denver and had 2 years of Knowshon Moreno, followed by a 28-year-old version of Steven Jackson in 2011, who, after he left, had one additional 1,000-yard rushing season. Then he comes back to New England, has 3 years of Steven Ridley, and then the last two seasons have been led by LeGarrette Blount. Now, despite this, these lead backs have actually averaged quite a few attempts per game, ranging anywhere from Sammy Morris at 12 on the low end to LeGarrette Blount last year at 18.7 on the high end. And as a whole, we're looking at slightly over 15 carries per game. We're going to come back to that number in a minute, but for now, let's focus in on Gilsey versus Blount. For starters, even after signing Burkhead for a little over $3 million, they decided it was in their best interest to go ahead and sign an offer sheet with Gilsey to submit a contract to Buffalo that they couldn't really consider matching, and to give Buffalo a fifth-round pick. Now, the contract's $4 million, and you might be thinking that sounds low for NFL terms, but for some perspective, that's the 11th highest cap number for the 2017 Patriots currently, and it also ranks as the 16th highest running back contract for this upcoming season in the entire NFL. So why the infatuation with them? Well, you probably have two different explanations. The first is either they've been following me on Twitter since February when I started this account and have seen the love interest that I have for Gilsey and decided to put me on their payroll and allow me to direct Bill Belichick to sign him this offseason. Or, more believable, considering I do not have a check from New England in my bank account yet, would be the fact that they see that they were not a very dynamic running team last year, and they see that Gilsey can do so many different things that Blount could not achieve, and decided that was the best interest for their team. Let's play number nerd for a second and just take a look at Gilsey's stats. One thing that I think is mind-boggling is the fact that if you look at the NFL history of any running back with 150 attempts or more, he actually has the highest yards per carry of any player in NFL history at 5.62 yards per carry. The next in line are two of my absolute favorite players of all time, Jamaal Charles and Bo Jackson. Now, one thing I'm always looking for on film is the ability for a running back to take over a drive with his offensive line. Now, one of my favorite things to see is a running back gain 5 or more yards on 3 consecutive carries. This just puts the defense in a really tough spot where they're scrambling to try to make an adjustment. Now, hopefully I'm not going to confuse everybody considering I don't have video in front of me to show you a chart, but LeGarrette Blount had 299 attempts last year, and he met this threshold, which is 5 or more yards per carry on 3 consecutive carries. He met that 6 times. And Gilsey, who had 101 attempts, which is 198 less than Blount, met the threshold of 5 or more yards on 3 consecutive carries 5 times. So he did it 1 less time than Blount on 198 less attempts. Now, 2 others that I really like to look at are carries resulting in 4 yards or less, and then on the flip side, carries resulting in 15 yards or more. If you're looking at 4 yards or less, Blount had 72% of his carries result in 4 yards or less. Yes, let me repeat that. 72% were 4 yards or less, and Gilsey was 57%. Now, if you're looking for your more explosive plays, your 15-yard gains or more, Blount was at 4%, and Gillislee actually led the league at 10%. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of film talk without video, just because on an audio podcast, trying to talk about what someone does well without showing you is difficult. But I will say this, that in the time that I've been doing RB Scout since February of this year, there's been two players that completely changed my mind of a preconceived notion that I had before the film started, and that's Jay Ajayi and Gillislee. I probably had the same thought a lot of you do or did about Gillislee, and that he played for Buffalo and they have a good offensive line. He's playing second fiddle to McCoy. A lot of the defense's looks and efforts are focused on Tyrod, and a lot of that is true. That's very factual. But I will say this, whenever I see him come in the game, as odd as it might sound to say, I didn't feel like Buffalo regressed on offense, and I didn't feel like they regressed in the run game whenever Gillislee came in for McCoy. And that's saying a lot, because I absolutely love McCoy. One thing I absolutely love about Gillislee is his ability to run out of shotgun. And this is where I think he is going to be extremely helpful for the Patriots. With Blunt, the Patriots' run game really was a fairly easy read. They would come out in single back or eye. They would run off a quick count. And whenever they came into the set, it would usually be for a series. And Blunt would be in the backfield. And they would try to establish the run game. Now, off of that, they ran, you know, the play action. But there wasn't much else that they would do. They definitely didn't try to establish a running game out of shotgun. You know, if you're looking at their numbers as a whole, you might see that they averaged 4.8 yards out of shotgun last year and think that's pretty good. But the NFL average for shotgun runs last year was actually 4.8. So all they really did was just meet average. Where Gillislee for his career out of shotgun sits right at 5.4 yards per carry. And he really achieves this through good vision to go along with excellent feet. He can set up a counter, he can set up a draw, he can delay. He can do a power run, no problem, and he can set up a cutback off of his zone. Now, one overlooked fact with New England is a lot of people come to New England and struggle early, just due to the fact that they've said the terminology is hard or the playbook is difficult. But as far as Gillislee is concerned, he should have a leg up on the competition due to the fact that in 2011, he played with Charlie Weiss at Florida, who used the same terminology that they use now. Now, let's circle back to that 15 attempts per game that I mentioned with Josh McDaniels for his lead running backs. Now, just for fun, let's multiply that number by 16 games, and you're going to get 240 carries. Now, let's say that Gillislee drops an entire yard off of his career yards per carry, and this year averages 4.6 yards per carry. That's going to leave you 1,104 yards rushing. Okay, now I'm not going to preach to you that he's going to have 18 rushing touchdowns like Blunt, but let's just say that he has an opportunity to have 10. 10 is a reasonable number that I think he could have. So now that's 60 points from touchdowns. We're looking at around 110 points from yards. So 170 points total, which will put him between what, RB20 and RB15 without ever catching a ball. Now at this point, you might be thinking, what is this madman talking about? Gillislee will not have 240 carries. Well, let's play the conservative game. If we project New England to have 450 rushing attempts, which I believe will probably be a little low, considering that they should be ahead in most games. They have an improved offensive line that's growing as a unit due to the fact that they have Dante Scarnecchia teaching these young kids. Well, with 450 rushing attempts, let's just say that Brady has 50, that James White and Deion Lewis combine for 100, however you want to look at it, 50 apiece, and that we give Burkhead 100. So what does that leave? That leaves 200 for Gillislee. So now let's run numbers off of 200. So let's just say that the touchdowns remain somewhere constant around even this number of 8 to 10, and that on the 920 yards that he receives from 200 carries at 4.6 yards per attempt, that gives you 92 points there. If you combine them, you're looking at 152 points, and without ever catching a ball, he's a very low-end RB2. It does appear that he's actually gaining some traction on Twitter as his DLF ADP moved up about 40 spots from May, which is, that's a great thing to me. At least it seems like everybody might be getting on board here, but I still see that he's listed as RB30 in June, and I look at the list above him of players such as Eddie Lacy, Kenneth Dixon, CJ Anderson, you know, even all the way up to Carlos Hyde at 18. I'm not saying I would push him over all of those people. But if you're giving me an option of Mike Gillisley with New England or Carlos Hyde with a new coach in San Francisco, and I'm sure this will not be a popular opinion, but I will take Gillisley over Hyde straight up today in redraft, in dynasty, in MFL 10, whatever you're looking for. And finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about DLF and more specifically the partnership that RB Scout has with DLF now. I've mentioned this on Twitter before that I wasn't looking for any type of partnership this season. You know, we've just kicked off the website. I've just kicked off the Twitter. I have not even really shown you what I want to show you yet this season. You know, in season, I haven't gone through a actual football season owning a website or being a content provider whatsoever. And I, you know, not really can't tell you that I'm fully aware of what to expect. But I do know this. Their entire team has been very receptive of me and very helpful. And I think they're very helpful to the community as well, as far as, you know, pushing the fantasy community farther out and allowing new people to come in and, you know, getting their name out easier. But three individuals that I wanted to mention for sure were Eric Dickens, Ken Moody, and Ryan McDowell, who have been nothing but outstanding to us as a small startup, I guess, is what we are now. That's growing rapidly, and we're very thankful for that. But the three of them were awesome to deal with, you know, without getting into too many specifics. You know, I didn't ask for $1 from DLF. I'm in a position, thankfully, where I don't need to have income coming from fantasy football. I'm doing this as just a pure hobby now. And I don't know, maybe one day that changes, but today it's not. And really all I asked them for was the ability to cross promote. You know, I want RB Scout to be RB Scout, and I want you to come to our website, but I want you to go to DLF as well. And one great thing about this partnership is that DLF has agreed to allow the video content that I partner with them on to be free and not behind the paywall, which I think is outstanding and awesome for them to do that. And really, this just echoes what I said on a previous podcast about the Twitter community and fantasy community in general, just being a lot different than what I expected, being a really good group. You know, I thought it was going to be a bunch of trolls, but man, I was completely wrong. You guys are awesome. I really do appreciate the support that you've given us as a newcomer to this. You know, having a YouTube channel with nearly 5,000 views already and a podcast with over 2,000 listens, I think that's outstanding. And I'm humbled by the support we have, and I hope we never get away from that humble mentality and we can strive to bring you the best content we can. Enough of the deep talk. Go buy Mike Gillisley. Go buy him now. Hurry before I go buy him in your league. Stay, stay.